how to become. With thanks to Port Arlington Further Education and Training Centre. Learn about our full and part-time further education and training courses and our third level and higher education undergraduate and postgraduate courses. PortArlingtonFETC.ie.
So hello and welcome to Midlands 103 Loose Cannons with myself, Mary Sherwin, and
myself, Helen Steins.
And we're here as part of our How to Become a series, and it's all about how to become a fashion designer. And we have Heidi Higgins, fashion designer extraordinaire, with us in the studio today. Welcome, Heidi.
Thanks, Mary. Delighted to be here.
Thanks for coming. You graduated, if I read that correctly, in 2008. And then a year later, you opened up. And how in Donna Versace's name did you manage to do that?
So I know, so quickly from college. I suppose I always wanted to have my own label. I certainly didn't think that I'd have it like as quickly as that. I studied fashion in NCAD in Dublin, National College of Art and Design, for 4 years. And when I was there, I spent all of my summers working with Louise Kennedy, the fabulous Irish fashion designer. And that was fantastic to get the insight into, I suppose, the real world of fashion design and working in a studio and seeing the items go from the studio to the shop floor and then go back to college and work on the next year that I was there. So when I was finished college, I was very lucky. I got a job with Louise and I worked there for a year. And I absolutely loved it. And then I was asked to take part in a fashion show. Actually, the fashion show was in Tullamore, believe it or not. And I, this fashion show was for showing my degree collection. And I said, yeah, sure, why not? So I took part in it. And a couple of buyers, like boutique owners, were there. And they were really interested in my collection. And they said, would I come and show them my collection and let them view it? And I said, OK, sure, if people are interested to buy it, I might as well run with the idea. So I went and I showed my collection and they decided to buy some pieces from the collection and place some orders. So then I was like, OK, well, what do I do now? So I decided to give up my job. I handed my notice and about 2 weeks later I had a little stand in an Irish designer's market in Paris Court Townhouse in Dublin. So it was called The Loft and there was lots of really well-known Irish designers. We all kind of started there. And I was there for about 6 months. So every weekend I'd go and I'd have my collection up on the rails and meet my customers. And I loved it and it worked really well for me. But I suppose I wanted a more permanent fixture for where I wanted to base my business. So I couldn't obviously afford rents in Dublin. So I came back to Portlaoise, where I'm from. And I found a lovely little unit on Church Street in Portlaoise. It's tiny, like, I mean, it was probably the size of the little studio we're in here now. It was really, really small, but it served me really, really well. I was there for 4 years and then I moved to a bigger premises on Grattan Street and I was there for 6 years. And I had my studio out the back and my shop to the front in the small shop originally. And then when the shop outgrew the studio and it just became the shop for a few years. And then when I moved to the bigger premises, I always wanted my studio and my shop to be together. So the shop was on the ground floor and the studio was upstairs where we worked. And it just sort of took legs and I ran with it. Lots of hard work, but it paid off. And it's the story, I suppose, about how my brand has become what it is, you know, today.
Because you are worn by, you know, people on Sky TV and, you know, Irish, I'm sure lots of famous Irish people. Can you name, let's name drop.
I hate doing the name dropping, but yeah, there's lots of, like, I've dressed lots of really fabulous people that I really admire, be it in media or in the business world. Like, we would dress a lot of people would come to us for special occasion wear, for special events within their lives, for big parties or whatever it may be, or weddings. And then we would have a lot of people who would come to me who are CEOs of big companies, or they're heading off to the States and they're ringing the bell for the stock exchange and they want to wear Irish. So fantastic, you know, business women like that as well. So we've been dressed lots of ladies in the boardroom and lots of ladies at the special events too. So it's nice.
Wow. So would people come to you with a general idea, or do you make a design then for each person as you would get to know them?
No, I don't do custom made. So I design my own collections. So every season, when I had my shop, I would have designed my spring summer collection, my autumn winter collection. And we'd have two big I suppose, seasonal collections every year. And I would have sold in my own boutique in Portlaoise, and then I sold to Brown Thomas and Arnott's and different boutiques around the country. I did a lot of trade shows abroad in London, and we went to Paris over to the fabric fairs. And then in 2020, I decided to close the shop. So in 2019, really, Christmas of 2019, I was moving to Tipperary, and that's when I closed my shop, and I've restructured my business now. So I'm based in Tipperary now myself, and I sell my collection online, and we make everything here in Ireland. I design my collections, I photograph them, they go up on the website, and people can order the pink dress size 10 or whatever. And as soon as the order comes in, then I make it. So I don't carry any stock in advance of the season. I just make it as it's ordered. For me, it's more sustainable to work that way. The biggest challenge, I suppose, I had when I had the shop was, if you only had the crystal ball, like, what dresses do people want, in what colours and in what sizes? You know, if somebody really famous wears a dress and it's on the cover of one of the magazines, you know, I never can preempt what that's going to be. And then the next day, everybody wants the red dress with the bow on it, or whatever.
You need it in every size.
And I'd have, you know, one of each size, and then that's it. Or everybody wants a size 10 and I only have an 8 and a 12 left. You know, you were kind of stuck, you know. So
would you have had people working for you then?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So in my boutique, I had girls that worked for me in the shop. And then upstairs in my studio, I had my two seamstresses that work with me. Yeah. And I had a girl that worked with me on production as well.
So would that be difficult then as well? Like, looking, would people have different, like, kind of standards of, like, would you look at it then and know that you didn't make it, or...
Well, no, like, I suppose, I mean, like, most of the dresses that people bought, I mean, I don't sit at the machine and make everybody's dress. You know, I'm designing the collection ahead of time, and then I'm going to work. When I had my boutiques, I worked with an Italian factory and a Polish factory who did my production for me, because I was making a lot of dresses back then, you know, because I was selling to a lot of different boutiques, and I had my own shop to fill, and I only sold my own collection in my boutique. So I used to sell a couple of Irish milliners and jewellery designers, because I'm very big about supporting Irish fashion. I'm the secretary of the Council of Irish Fashion Designers. So I've loads of friends that are designers, and I would always style my shoots for my photo shoots and things like that with fellow Irish designers. I would have had some of those pieces to complement in the shop, but it was my own collection that we sold in the store. So I didn't ever really make one-off pieces for people. We used to do alterations and things like that in the boutique, because we were able to provide that service. But now my setup is much smaller. I'm working, as I said, solely online, and I only sell my collection in Arnott's. So I'm up with the Irish design section in Arnott's, and it's a lovely, lovely area, all Irish designers, and I've been there for pretty much kind of since I closed my shop, since, I suppose, things picked up after COVID.
Yeah.
And it's lovely to sell online. I mean, I speak to most of my customers on the phone, actually. You know, when people order a dress, they're not sure about the colour, or maybe they're not sure if they're a 10 or a 12, they'll take their measurements and we'll chat about it over the phone, and I'll just double check and see. And if, for example, they're between a 10 and a 12, I'll be able to make them in a size 11. Do you know, sort of way? So it's as the order comes in, I'll be able to make it for people. But I don't have the facility to meet people to measure and custom make things.
What would the most popular size be?
Bang in the middle, I suppose you're talking about 12 and 14. It's kind of your, for the age group that I sell to, and kind of my target profile, that's kind of a most popular size that we would sell.
Who is the target profile?
It would be 35-year-old women plus, and as I said, they would be buying for, like, lots of communions at the moment. I'm really busy for that, or weddings, people who are in professional jobs and they want to wear something really smart. It mightn't be, like, they won't wear their HH dress every day to work, maybe, but they'll wear it for the day they have a meeting or a conference, or they're doing a big presentation and they want to look smart and sophisticated and stand out a little bit, but not be too over the top. So they're mainly the customers that I have. Now, I have kind of a more less dressier collection in online as well, where we do blouses and we do little separates, like trousers and things like that. And people would wear them, you know, every day with their jeans and things like that, you know.
You were, I suppose, on a premises of some sort or another for about 10 years. And you've had a few children.
Yes.
And congratulations.
Thanks.
So can I just ask, because working mums out there, is that one of the reasons that you gave up the shop and moved solely online? And as well as that, if it was or wasn't, did you find that really hard to juggle?
Yeah, like I had my first child, Matilda, when I decided to close the shop. I suppose I was pregnant with my second child, Jasper, my little boy in the middle. And we were coming up to kind of Christmas of 19, and we were building our house. We had started to build our house in November. No, sorry, we moved into our house, sorry, in November 19. So I had moved to Tipperary, and I was like, God, how will I manage up and down, up and down? And with two kids now, not just one. And when I had Matilda, like, I mean, I was straight back to work, and I knew that wasn't going to be possible to be nipping up and down to the shop with a newborn coming all the way from Tip. And he was due in June of 2020. So I was kind of like, well, I need to decide what's practical, because yeah. I was either going to design my spring summer collection, have it ready in store on the February of the following year, or not, you know, or have a smaller collection. So I decided that I'd hand in my notice for the premises. And thank God I did, because obviously COVID came in the following year. So literally the day that I took everything out of the shop was the day that it was announced that you couldn't go beyond the 2K or whatever it was. So I was really, really lucky that I had everything, you know, kind of finished with the shop at that point. And then I was able to concentrate on having Jasper and working on, you know, restructuring the business or whatever. There was obviously a bit of a breather there because fashion wasn't a priority at the time for most people, you know. But since then I've had a third child, and it's manic. Like, it's busy. There's a 2-year-old and 3-year-old and a 7-year-old. So it's great. It's busy, and you just get on with it, you know. I love my work. It's really important to me. I think you have to find that happy balance if you can. But, you know, there is no such thing as, you know, this perfect lifestyle balance that everybody talks about. You know, it's just some days are great, some days don't work out so well.
It's not a movie.
It's not a movie, no. And it's, you know, it's about the choices that you make and how you plan your days as best you can. And it's just about, I suppose, I think it's really important to have a career that you love. It's not always an option for people, I know, but I've been very lucky. I've always stayed true to what I wanted to do, which is fashion. And in recent times, I've started to do some teaching fashion, which I absolutely love. Last year, I contacted LOETB because I'm a previous student from there, and I studied there 20 years ago in Abelix. I studied the Art, Craft and Design course, which was a course that I did after my Leaving Cert to prepare for my portfolio for Art College. So I had a fantastic year there, amazing memories. I did a fashion competition when I was there. We got through to it, through to the final. We were up in Dublin, all the students came. It was brilliant. I have great memories from there. But anyway, I contacted LOETB and I just said, I'd love to do some fashion teaching. It's been on my mind for a long time, but I suppose I've been busy over the last few years with different things. And I just said, if you're interested in doing some sewing classes or fashion classes, let me know. So they were back on to me very quickly. And we started doing some community education classes, which are lovely. They're really, really enjoyable. You meet lovely people there, very relaxed. It's about getting out, being social, just, I suppose, trying new things. And those classes were really successful. So they asked me to do more certified classes, which I've been doing. So at the moment, we're just coming to the end of now 4 different level 3 certified classes. So it's brilliant. There's about maybe 35 students that are going to be finishing their level 3. And
so
I'm just enjoying it.
Students now that are trying to start into to be a designer.
So some of the students are really keen to kind of continue it on, you know, to make something of it. Some of them just really want to learn how to sew, and kind of there's been a machine there. Like, I mean, in almost every, well, not maybe not every household, but almost every household, there's a machine somewhere. Like, either granny's machine is hanging around, or somebody has went into Lidl and Aldi and bought one because they're on offer, and they're just, you know, have this idea in their head that they'd love to start sewing, you know. So when we kind of advertised it, lots of people said, I've just bought a sewing machine, or I have a machine and I keep meaning to use it, and they'd love to come along and join the class. So a few of the ladies have started little alteration business out of it. Some have just got back into something that they really wanted to do. And because there's been such a great demand for the course, next September we're bringing on a level 5. So it's going to be garment construction and pattern drafting at level 5. So people, most of my students are continuing on to the next level, which is brilliant. So they're progressing all the way through. And so I'm really excited about that.
How to Become, with thanks to Lear Business Services and Training Centre Mullingar, offering QQI certified online courses in key areas such as business administration, management, train the trainer, personal development and bespoke in-company training. LearBusinessCentre.com.
So what advice would you give now if there was a student in school that loves art and were studying art? What advice would you give to them if they wanted to take down the path of becoming a designer?
I won't say I'm really lucky, because I was lucky to get the work experience when I did, and I was lucky to do all that. But like, I really fought hard for those things, and I worked really hard. Like, I made sacrifices. I was working every summer. I went off to New York one summer, like the J1, but I worked when I was there. I worked with an Irish designer in America. So everything I've done has been my work, but my work is what I love, so it doesn't feel like work to me, if that makes sense. But I always say to people, if you're interested in being the creative world or whatever it may be, you need to get in and get work experience and see if you like it. Help out for free, do whatever, you know, just try and get the gig so that you can make the contacts and I suppose see if it is really something that you want to pursue. You know, what people might think is fashion design, then they get in, they're like, oh, actually, this is not what I thought it was at all. Yeah. I thought it was glamorous fashion shows, and I didn't think it was sitting around waiting and, you know, getting ready for photo shoots and having to, organise getting the boxes back out to everybody. Or, you know, I suppose one of the big things I love about my job is that every day is completely different. Mm-hmm. When I had the shop, I had a fantastic team. I love working with people. And I think that has been, I always had this idea in my head that I'd love to do some sort of teaching. And it's obviously fashion is my passion, so that makes sense to teach that. But when, over the last few years, when I've been working on my own collection, because I don't have my shop anymore. Now, I would have been in contact with customers and still am on the phone quite a lot, but I don't have that face-to-face, and I'm a very much a people person. So I'm absolutely loving going into the school, to LOETB in Port Arlington, and meeting the students there and just having the chats. And at the start of every class, everybody's doing a show and tell, and I can't keep the work big enough for them because they're actually doing all this homework, and I'm like, we're way ahead than where I thought we'd be, you know. So it's brilliant. Like today, two of the students were wearing things that they have made recently. Wow. And it was just brilliant. They're just, you know, so excited to get started on the next level in September. So it's brilliant to see. They're all broke from buying fabric and things like that, but it's great. We have a laugh, and it's just lovely to see them actually making something, and the few weeks that we've had together, that there's something really good has come out of it, you know, for them.
Giving back your passion as well and seeing it bloom in front of you with other people.
And their confidence comes out so much. You know, there might be some, like there's a lot of students who have maybe put their career on hold because they've been having kids and things like that. And then they were delighted to see that fashion or sewing had come up as an option for them to do. And they've started doing it, and they're just like a whole new person, and they're dressing up to come into the class, and do you know, it's nearly a little fashion show. We have a laugh with each other, but it's just lovely to see that their confidence is blooming as well from doing the course. And even their kids are, you know, saying, you know, Mom, you're going to college, and they're getting the cool new runners, and you know, they're just getting real trendy again, because you know, they're getting out of the house and they've somewhere nice to go. It's not necessarily a job, but it's, you know, they're progressing themselves on, and there's great opportunities for them when they do finish the course. Mm. So it's very exciting to see.
I do think, though, having you as a mentor and running the course, you are such a role model for them, inspirational. And you are, as Helen said, you're really enthusiastic about it. I mean, I could listen to you for hours here chatting on about it. I had a question for you about Arnott's. Just how did you get into Arnott's? Did you approach them or did they approach you?
So as I said to you, everything is not necessarily lucky, but kind of planned in some way. But when I first opened my shop, I opened on the 5th of March. And in April every year, there's Punchestown, as mm-hmm. everybody knows. And I joined, well, friends of my mom's, and they were a fantastic network group. They were all older ladies than me now at the time. I was only 24 when I opened my shop. And so I was really innocent and naive. And they kind of took me in under their wing, and they were like a network group in town. And they said, we're going to Punchestown. Do you want to come? And I was like, oh, sure, why not? I'd never been to the races, or didn't really. I had dressed ladies for Ladies' Day, but I hadn't really experienced it myself. So I said, I'm sure I might as well go for the day. I actually closed the shop. I don't know if that was a good business move or not. But anyway, I closed the shop and went for the day. So this is about maybe 6 weeks after I had opened the shop. And I went and I won Best Dressed at Punchestown. And it was at the start of when, like, Ladies' Day is obviously are really big now, but this was kind of the beginning of it. And the prize was €10,000 for Arnott's. It was amazing. Mm. So I bought like loads of things for the shop, like Hoover, laptop, microwave, and then obviously makeup and things like that. But it was my introduction to Arnott's. So they were the sponsors, and one or two of the judges were fashion editors and things like that. So it was my introduction to them, and then I started selling my collection to the store. And that's how that kind of happened. But it was fantastic coverage. Like, it was the cover of all the papers the next day, and it was all the different boutiques then were starting to contact me, or they were delighted to see that the label was becoming known, because they had taken a chance on me maybe 6 months earlier to buy into the collection. And then it was like people were ringing looking for it. So it was brilliant. But like, as I said, you have to keep pushing yourself forward. And I kind of do say that to the students too. Sometimes they're kind of shy. They might want to show you something and it's in the bag, and then I'm like, what's that? I didn't see that before. And they're like, oh, I made that last week. And I'm like, get it out, show me, you know, let's talk about it or whatever, you know. So even for the girls who are doing some of the alterations work, you know, I'm talking to them about costing and making sure that they're charging the right fee, and, you know, helping them kind of get a little bit set up in a more professional capacity first, you know.
I guess people that are able to sew just take it for granted. I mean, personally, yeah. I can't, like, and I never could. And my poor home economics teacher used to nearly cry when we came to make stuff. But, like, that's what you mean. So I would willingly pay for someone to do something for me. And I guess you don't realise how much of a gift it is, like, if you're so able to do it.
Yeah, I know. I suppose it's a talent that people have, and if they can nurture it and make something special of it, it's great. But, I mean, I suppose one of my talents, I suppose, I would say, is that I have a very good way of mixing the creativity with the business. And that's what a lot of designers just don't have. You know, some of them are so creative, but they just can't make it work in business. And then some people are just too businesslike, and they're not able to mix the creativity. Mm-hmm. I think all my experiences, I've always worked in retail from like the age of 16 as my first job. So I've always been selling to people and, you know, having that sort of relationship building. And then obviously when I worked with Louise when I was in college and all of that, you know, I've been able to mix the two together. And I think that has, you know, benefited me massively, you know.
It's really funny that you say that, because everybody that we've spoken to on the How to Become, it's really become apparent that you need to have a business head to go with your what you're gifted and talented at doing. Like,
yeah, well, to make a good success of it, because, I mean, there's lots of talented people that are in other jobs because that's the job that pays them or whatever it may be, and they just maybe haven't been allowed or had the space to make their creativity a thing. But yeah, I've been lucky to have to experience both those things and been in the environments where I've been learning, you know, and just learn and take it all in. So that's
any funny stories, Heidi? Because just when you spoke to me there about alterations, when I was a teenager, I worked in a laundrette, and a lady came in one day and she said, I've got super glue on my jacket. And I was like, oh, how did that happen? She said, well, I can't sew. So I tried to stick the button back on. And I was like, oh God, I'm bad, but Lord, I wouldn't do that. So have you got any funny stories from when your shop was around, Jesus, or something strange that happened?
Oh, like, lots of things happen in the fashion world. Like, the latest thing now, this is one thing that I laughed at recently. It's not necessarily from the shop, but the young girls now, and I'm like 38, so I don't claim to be old, they don't wear bras anymore. This is the thing where, like, you know, people don't wear, the younger generation don't really wear bras. So we were doing a photo shoot recently and the model had no bra. Like, usually, you know, it would be kind of a given that the model would bring nude underwear and black underwear. So I said to her, that's great, and here's my next dress. And she was putting it on with no bra, and I said, well, I need you to, like, because a lot of the shows they maybe wouldn't wear bras, you know. And I was like, I need some sort of boobs in my dresses, you know. I'm selling to women, real women that have boobs and a bum and hips and whatever. So I had to take my bra off to give her the bra for the photo shoot. And I was there standing there going, oh my God, I can't believe I've just done this. But it you know, there's funny sort of things that happen all the time.
Yeah,
you know,
I can imagine,
you know. Yeah. So it's just you know, it's the way it's going. I'm just glad I'm not in the underwear world in that sort of business.
Yeah.
mental note, bring a spare pair. Right. So with us this evening, we also have Margaret Moran from LOETB in Port Arlington, and she works with Heidi.
I'm the centre manager in Port Arlington Further Education and Training Centre, and Heidi is one of the teachers in the centre, and Heidi works and started the sewing classes at level three. She initially came in through community education Gillian Cunningham to do non-accredited courses, but there was such a demand for Heidi's classes that we decided that progression is a big thing in our area. So we progressed on to a level three certified group. And that, I think you have about 35 students.
I do two in the afternoon and two at night time. So night time is actually very popular for a lot of people who are working during the day, mm-hmm. you know. So it's been really, really good. I've really, really enjoyed it. And we're coming to the end of the courses now. And what the students have produced is just... I'm really blown away. I've been up and down showing Margaret to her office. It's beautiful what they've done.
It's amazing. And these ladies will come in and they will say to me on Monday morning, the top of the morning to you, I couldn't wait to get back in. This is a new life for me. And they have been using some of their husband's shirts and actually...
We did a lovely project. Like, we wanted to do a little sustainable project, so we upcycled. So I took my husband's shirt and took a scissors to it one weekend, because a lot of the things in what I do is like, you can't just say we'll do something. I have to have the demo, I have to have the samples there to show the students the potential of what can happen, and then let them come up with their own little ideas that they'd like to add to it. So we all decided we'd take an old shirt and upcycle it or refashion it. And what they have made is just amazing. Like, just, they've been beautiful pieces. I've started sharing them. So I'm in charge of the LOETB Port Arlington Instagram page. And it's lovely to show all the visuals, because really, I suppose, how you tell people about what you do is visually, especially if it's fashion. So I've shared, you can have a look at them on the page, and there's some really fantastic shirts that they've come up with. It's like, some of them have done two and three shirts. They've just really enjoyed it. Some of them have added other fabrics to them. One lady only used the shirt and did such an amazing job to it. So she was trying to be really, you know, sustainable and economical. She didn't want to add anything extra fabric to it. So just using every little nook and cranny of the fabric to make something really interesting. You'd never think it was a Tommy Hilfiger or whatever shirt previously, and the little logo is just on it there. It looks great. So I've done two shirts today. So we do things like obviously learning how to use a sewing machine, the very basic things. We do a little bit of hand embroidery, a little bit of sequins and embellishments. We do a little bit of fabric paint, which is really like, so it's a sewing course. The level three is a sewing course, but it's very much a creative sewing course. So it's not about turning up hems, and, you know, we do a little bit of that too, but it's a very creative environment. And then for next September, we're really excited to progress those students on now to level five, which will be the garment construction and the pattern drafting.
And we love to celebrate all events with our students. So we're having our awards night in the Heritage Hotel on the 28th of May. So Heidi is organising a fashion show for those students to showcase what they have made, or what they have upskilled or upgraded in a shirt. And also, that's very good on a confidence level for these people, you know, to get out and actually show people around what they have made. And that's going to be a celebration of learning for them, you know.
So it's been great. I was one of the students recently. She made a beautiful bag out of McGee tweed. So she bought very luxurious and expensive McGee tweed for this particular bag that she wanted to make, and it turned out absolutely gorgeous, and she's a lovely, lovely story to it. And I am friendly with the CEO of McGee through my Council of Irish Fashion Designers contacts. So I was telling her all about this, my student, recently at a fashion show I was involved in. And I got on to her and I said to her, any chance you might have some offcuts for my students? And so actually the big box arrived today from McGee Tweed. So it's just fantastic. Hoping now to do a nice little, you know, kind of collaboration and get the students to make something really nice that we can show off back to McGee that we've put the fabric to good use. So there's lots of really exciting things happening.
And really, really good stories, you know. Yeah. And Heidi is there. I can't keep up with Heidi with her ideas. Great ideas. And we're trying to recruit at the minute for the...
Yeah,
for
so
the September, because we're going to do it part-time at the minute, a part-time course in the fashion design until Heidi's ready then, and we'll go full-time into it.
Yeah.
And we're starting to can do a level five course over 2 years instead of over 1 year. And then they can progress on to college then after that as well if they want to, or go out into industry, or big-time be an entrepreneur like Heidi, start their own business, which is
hopefully I'd love, there's loads of courses that the LOETB can teach, like I love the entrepreneurship course. I'd love to get my teeth into that in time, but I'm just finding my bearings there myself because I'm relatively new, but it's taken legs. The students are loving it. There's great work being produced by them, and we're doing up the fashion sewing room at the moment, which is really exciting too. So there'll be lovely facilities there for the students to work with.
And so if they want to apply, anybody that wants to apply, just log on to portarlingtonfetc.ie or give us a call at the centre and we'll get them sorted for September.
Brilliant.
It's just amazing for the students though to see you there teaching them and to know you're a mother of three small children plus you're designing your own and running your own business, and to see you then able to teach them and see like life in motion. It's absolutely amazing.
And the story is that Heidi was a PLC student herself.
Yeah, so
the course in Abbey Leaks, which makes them feel, well, she was a student, she was where I am. You know?
I think that's the lovely thing about the ETBs. You know, I suppose I was never very academic, but that doesn't mean that you can't be successful in your chosen career, you know. So when I did the I did my Leaving Cert and then I did the portfolio course. When I did the portfolio course in Abilix with Jackie Carter, who looks after that course there, I felt like I had found my people, you know. I had found the creatives, and I did really well out of that course and got my place in NCAD and then made my own out of it or whatever. But it's just, I love to see creativity and that talent being pursued by people, and just, you know, given the space that it's allowed to give for it to nurture and grow, and to let them see that they can make something out of it. It doesn't just have to be a hobby. It can be if that's all they want it to be, but also, you know, just to see people actually wear the clothes that they make. It's just, it's like when you bake your own cake, you know, you keep saying to everybody, did you love it? Was it nicer than the normal apple tart that I bake? It's homemade. Did you really like it? Is it really worth my while making it again? You know, it's like when you make your own clothes, you just... There's that satisfaction. And like even the nighttime classes, there's people travelling quite far to do the nighttime classes, and they just say at the end of the class, like, you know, it could be a Monday night and we're leaving the room at 9:30, and they're just like, oh, I just love that, it's just so relaxing. It was just the humming of the machines, and they just switch off and there's no distractions, and they're even, I'm like, we need to pack up now, it's time to go, you know. They're just in the middle of something, they're in a zone, you know. So it's just really lovely. I drive home and working late, you know, work a long day on a Monday, and you're just full of the beans from just seeing the energy that's in the room. So it's really, really lovely and refreshing.
And the centre is very, very well established for that, and you know, we're improving it all the time, put it that way.
Sounds fantastic. And it was a pleasure having both of you come in. I've no doubt that you're going to turn out so many wonderful students like yourself of your own ilk.
I'm going to show you some pictures now in a few minutes when we get off air.
All over them. I'm dying to see them. We'll have to follow you on Instagram. Yeah. Can you tell us one more time, Margaret, for anybody who's interested in doing the course, how do they do that? What do they do?
What they can do is log on to our website, portarlingtonfetc.ie, and fill in the expression of interest form. That will come in to me, and then I will organise an online assessment in English for them. The online assessment really is to see what supports would they need if they came into the centre for doing up assignments, if there was written assignments. And after that, then they'll have an informal interview, and then they're made an offer of the programme or not. Okay? Very, very simple. It costs nothing. It's all free in Port Arlington.
Fantastic.
Free course, the whole thing.
Brilliant. Well, hopefully you're going to have lots of inquiries this. When is it starting? In September?
September, yeah.
And application closing date is?
Would be the end of August, but a small number of places, really.
Yeah, we're a lot of my students are continuing on to the next level. Yeah. So there's limited places, but there's, like, as I said, there's the level three we're starting again in September. So if anybody's interested in getting in at that level and working their way up, just make contact with the centre and I'll more than happily talk to them and see what stage they're at and where we could fit them in.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, ladies, and thanks for coming
in. Thank you.
Thanks, Megan.
So from myself, Mary Sherwin and Luz Cannons on Midlands 103, and
myself, Helen Steins. Thank you very much, ladies. And your centre sounds like a hive of enjoyment. I really think it's amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So until the next time. Bye-bye.